We also want to look at the Harvest Home Sunday. Harvest Home Sunday is October 15th. If you could please bring non-perishable food items, they'll be donated to the food pantry. You can drop them off at the stairway anytime near the kitchen. And on behalf of the mission and evangelism team, we thank you. October 15th, Harvest Home Sunday. Also, just want to highlight the Widow's Lunch is on Tuesday, October 10th, 11:30 a.m. at Country Fair. And just make your reservations. You'll find the information in your bulletin to leave a note in a mailbox or to call a phone number listed there. We also just want to make note on October 21st at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a hayride here at the church and a fall festival campfire with hot dogs and marshmallows. And we'll try to have some games available as well. But bring your community friends and let's join together in a hayride and fall fest October 21st. Bud has another announcement he'd like to make, and then we'll worship together.
This announcement is for men. Men, we are not having breakfast on the 28th. Instead, there's a need for some help with the Ziegler auction. And anybody's interested, please contact me this week. And we'll try to set up a schedule of what we need and who we need where. And I'll be talking to Linda a little bit more about it as well. So thank you.
Good morning. Will you guys all rise and worship with us by singing "How Great Is Our God"? You'll find it in your pamphlets, number 16, "How Great Is Our God."
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great is our God.
Name above all names.
Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great. God.
One more time.
Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
One more time.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. How great is our God.
do something rather unique this morning for our joys and concerns and prayer time. You'll notice around you that there are several people. We're going to gather into groups of as many as you'd like to have a time of prayer during our joys and concerns. We did this at district conference yesterday, and it was very powerful, and experienced the Spirit moving in a fantastic way. So if you just want to gather in groups wherever you're seated and just talk about prayer requests you each have, share your joys and concerns in that group, and then after a period of time, I'll close. As you continue to pray, I'll pray over you as well. Father God, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Father, we thank you for the comfort that you bring us. We thank you, Father, for the peace that you bring us and the joy and the understanding in the midst of storms. And we pray in our sorrows, Lord, we would find that peace that it's only through you we can find. And we thank you for our salvation this morning. Father, anyone here that may not know you personally, we just lift them up and ask that you would speak directly to them and allow their hearts to be opened and just allow them to receive you today. And we just praise you, Father, for the difference you make in our lives. We think across the globe, the tragedies that are happening, and we think of Las Vegas and the victims, and just pray for their families, and we pray for those that have been impacted in any way, Lord, that you would just bring peace to this world. And we know that you are a God of peace, and ask that in Jesus' name. We think of those things near and dear to our heart right now, and we just lift those things up again and just ask you, Father, to move, because we know you are an active God in our lives. And we pray, Father, that you would move in our midst. You would continually guide and direct us. You would bring healing if it be your will, but you would allow modern medicine to work with your guidance as well, Lord. And we just praise you for who you are, for what you are doing. And we just thank you for Little Swatara. We thank you for the people gathered here this morning, and ask your blessing upon each one. We thank you, Father, for your love, your great love, your unconditional love that you provide each one of us. And we pray that we would love and serve each other well. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.
Would you join us as we continue to worship and singing Thy Word? You'll find this in your pamphlet, number 10 in your pamphlet.
Forever is wandering.
As we enter in this time of offering, I'd like to read to you from Romans. Romans 3, 12, 3 through 9. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Hosea 6:6. We know about God, but do we really know, really know him? When we give gifts to those we love, we seek out just the right things that will have special meaning. Because we know them in a unique way, and because it will make them smile. Isn't that how we should give to God? What is the gift that we bring him today? Will it make him smile? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And we just ask that you look over this congregation and look over this entire country, especially now in this time that we're going through. And we just ask that you open their hearts to allow them to give generously to this church, to keep us moving forward so that we can continue to do your will. And Father, we ask all these things in your glorious name, Lord. Amen.
As ourselves, and this love.
Have any of you ever picked up a penny off of the ground?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a person that picked up a penny. Do you guys want to hear this story?
Yes, please.
Yes, please? All right. There was this guy and his wife, and they were invited to go over to an employee's house. This employee was really rich, so they were a little bit nervous about going over there. The boss took him out for dinner at the finest restaurant. And while they were walking there, the employer stopped and looked at the ground. The lady that was with them thought, oh, I'm supposed to just go around him, because she didn't see anything on the ground, just a dirty old penny and a couple of cigarette butts. So the employee stopped and picked up this penny. Oh, we got one more. So the employee stopped and picked up this dirty old penny. And this nagged the lady. She's like, why did he pick up this dirty old penny? Well, it kept bothering her all through dinner until she said, my sister has a coin collection. Do you have one too? Well, the employee thought, wait, she thinks that I got this penny for a collection? No. Well, she explained. The employee explained, I picked up the penny because of the words. Do you know what the penny says? What words are on a penny? There's an Abraham Lincoln. That's not it. The date? No, that's not it. In God we trust. So the employee said to the man, to the people, this penny helps me remember that every time I read it, that I need to trust in God. If he sees a dirty penny, he always thinks, this is a reminder from God that he needs to trust in him more. And when you pick up that penny, you remember, I need to trust in the Lord. So anytime you pick up a penny or you see a penny, I hope you guys remember to trust in God. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to know that you are God and to always trust in you. Amen. Before you guys go back to your seats, I got a penny for you. Ooh.
Would you all rise and join us in singing Blessed Be the Name? The lyrics will be up here on the screen for you. Blessed Be the Name.
Faithfulness has been my shield. it makes me want to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, for you daily bear my burdens. Your great faithfulness is my reward, and it makes me want to sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name.
Come to you in this moment. We're opening your word before us, and we know, Lord God, that your word still speaks. And we pray, Father, as individuals, that our mind, our hearts would be open to receive exactly what you would have for us. We praise your name, and we ask you, Father, to be patient with us, to help us to live this life righteous as Noah did, and be able to heed the storms and know that the storm will pass. And we praise you for all things, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wished you could have a second chance, a do-over, another opportunity to make it right? I often wonder if those being wiped out by the flood ever felt that feeling. Did they ever cry out to God? Did they even want another chance? There's this dangerous game many people play with life. I've heard it said, oh, I've got time. I'll keep living this sinful life and I'll accept Jesus later. But what if time isn't on your side? What if your life strikes zero before you say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, come into my life, I want to live for you? We do know this. Noah was found righteous. He lived a life pleasing to the Lord. Friends, this wasn't a one and done deal. He didn't say a prayer and go on living life as usual. It was a lifelong journey making right decisions. You see, friends, God takes something dark and dreary, and he gives rise to something colorful and alive. When the darkness remains, the color can't shine. Whether it's lying, stealing, cheating, gossip, or slander, whatever it may be, it must depart from our lives. There's no room for darkness when the light is shining. We all remember those days we're driving down the road and suddenly we find ourselves in a sea of torrential downpour. You know, the wipers don't even help and we have two choices. We either pull over or we follow that white line. Now I'll confess, I'm one of those guys that follows the white line. Surely the storm is going to pass. And you know what? It does. But then something beyond words happens. Brilliant colors splash across the gray canvas. It's a thing of beauty, yet it's fragile. Just a moment later, as the clouds pass by, it slowly fades away. But for that brief moment, we witness one of the most inspiring miracles that God has set in nature. A symbol that reminds us of a new beginning, a promise, a future, a comfort within our souls. Webster's dictionary defines a rainbow as a bow of arc of prismatic colors appearing in the heavens opposite the sun and caused by the refraction and reflection of the sun's rays in drops of rain. Science further tells us that rainbows are caused by the sunlight filtering through the water in the air, each drop becoming a prism to release the colors hidden in the white light of the sun. Now, of course, I still enjoy Kermit the Frog, who sings, "Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?" Friends, this morning, I'd like us to think beyond the scientific, to think beyond the silly, and consider the spiritual meaning of these arcs of prismatic colors. And to do this, we have to go to the source. Friends, what is the source? I didn't hear you. What is the source? The Word of God. It tells us in Genesis 9, 8 to 17, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me. Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." Friends, we're at the end of the story now, and we remember how it began. God created this perfect world where everything was very good. And then sin creeps in and corrupts everything. And we do mean everything. Adam and Eve defy God's authority and hide from the one who made them. And it doesn't take very long, and one of their sons, Cain, murders his own brother in cold blood in a fit of rage and jealousy. And the corruption continues, only getting worse with each generation. As a matter of fact, it gets so bad, we remember the Bible says in Genesis 6, 5 and 6, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." Have you ever regretted anything in your life? We all have regrets, and I'm not talking about the ghost peppers that you put on your cheesesteak. I'm not talking about the hot sauce you put on your French fries. These are the kind of regrets that keep us up at night. Those words that pierce another's heart, Those actions that leave behind permanent scars. I'll never forget throwing my backhand at my brother when he turned the opposite direction of my girlfriend's house. I'll never forget the quarter I threw across the room and hit him between the eyes with that left a mark on his forehead. But I kept coming back to that phrase this week. The Lord regretted he made human beings. It's such a powerful statement. But God is love. God is grace. The people he had made had become so vile. They had become so vicious that he grieved and he had regrets. But friends, even then, God didn't give up on us. He gives humanity a fresh start, a second chance, another opportunity. It's then that we know the ark was built to shelter Noah and his family. The waters recede and the family and the creatures for the first time in a very long time step onto dry land. And friends, that's where we find ourselves in the story today. And it doesn't get any better than this. The first thing, not the second, not the third, the first thing God does is makes a promise. He creates a new covenant with Noah, and the rainbow appears in the clouds. And we know that ever since, the rainbow has become a symbol of how and why God gives us a new beginning. So friends, no matter what consumes us this morning, no matter what keeps us awake at night, God is being patient. There's this old limerick that claims patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, found seldom in a woman, never in a man. I'm not sure about never, but patience certainly is a virtue. Tony Campolo tells the story of a father shopping with a fussy 2-year-old in his grocery cart. "Be patient, Billy," he whispers. "You can handle this, Billy. Just be patient." A woman nearby overhears his reassuring words and says, "I don't mean to interrupt your shopping, but I just had to tell you how wonderfully loving and patient you are with little Billy." The man replied, "Actually, my name is Billy. My son's name is Patrick." I can't tell you how many times I've caught myself doing the very same thing, wandering through a store with 3 crazy kids, reminding myself to be patient. Friends, perhaps God feels the same way about us. It's implied when in verse 16 God says, "When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth." We can just about picture God looking down on his rainbow and muttering to himself, "Now be patient, God. You can handle this." But I don't really think God needs a reminder, does he? But we sure do, don't we? That's why he told Noah, "Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood." God repeats this promise 3 times. Say it with me. Never again, never again, never again. Some people read this story and wonder, how could God do such a thing? But when we look at all the sin in the world, the rape, the murder, the child abuse, slavery, human sex trafficking, I wonder, why hasn't he done it again? And friends, we have to believe because God is patient. In Peter's day, people were growing impatient, awaiting the return of Christ. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter 3:3-9. "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again?' From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. You see, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for our sake. Hear me on this. God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He simply wants us to repent. Friends, God is being patient with us. All those times we rejected his invitation, or we accepted him with just words and we walked out those doors unchanged, denying him with our lifestyle. Surely God has had reason to unleash his anger, but he doesn't. And here is why: God is being patient with us. But friends, we don't have all the time in the world. When we see those colors arched across the sky, it reminds us God had patience. The promise is in the rainbow. It was one Sunday afternoon, and Mark Twain and his friend William Howes stepped out of church just as a heavy downpour began. Not wanting to get rained on, they waited under the cover of the church's porch, and Howes remarked, "I wonder if it will ever stop." And Mark Twain retorted, "Well, it always has before." And he was right. The rain stops because God made a promise. Again, God told Noah, "I solemnly promise you, and I seal this promise with this sign. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds as a sign of my promise. I will remember my promise, for I will see the rainbow in the cloud and remember my eternal promise to every living being on the earth." But you know, there's a difference. There's a difference between the promises you and I make and the promises that God makes. God never breaks his promises. It's true, we live in a world of broken promises. We make commitments and we don't follow through. We make plans and promises we never intend to keep. Yet the Bible records over 7,000 promises God has made to his people, and he kept every single one of them. Thought I'd hear an amen. God doesn't cancel on us at the last minute. He doesn't change his mind or find somebody else. God keeps his promises. You know how much I love Peanuts cartoons. Lucy and Linus are sitting in front of the TV, and Lucy says to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." Looking surprised, Linus responds, "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." So Lucy promises, "On your 75th birthday, I'll bake you a cake." Linus thought for a moment, gets up, and he heads to the kitchen, saying, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Friends, like Linus, we have something to look forward to. Amen. Yeah! Woo! Not just a promise that God won't flood the entire earth, but the greatest promise of all time: eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, the promise of heaven. Friends, there is forgiveness, there's redemption, there are new beginnings. The Bible says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the moments that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, listen to me, make every effort to respond to God's promise." That's in 2 Peter 1:4 and 5. So the question is this: how do we respond to God's promise? And it's like Linus. We act on them. We live and we act as if they are certain. We live and act as if they are sure, indisputable, and unquestionable because, friends, that's what they are. The rainbow reminds us that God keeps his promises. Now, in the original Hebrew language, there actually wasn't a word for rainbow. Rather, we would find the word bow. In the movie Unstoppable, Kirk Cameron comments on this. In most instances, a bow is a weapon of war. In the flood, God bent his bow toward the earth and unleashed his wrath, his judgment. But now, God is telling Noah that he will hang his bow in the clouds. He's hanging it up. He's putting it away. In essence, he's suspending judgment. But have you ever noticed how the bow is hanging? If there were a bow here right now, the string would be stretched along the horizon, and God has the bow turned toward himself. Friends, the next time we see God pouring out his judgment and wrath for the sin of the world is on that cross. When Jesus died on the cross, it was God himself bearing the punishment, taking the arrow that actually belonged to us. By pouring out his wrath on Jesus, God reconciled us to himself. The Bible says in Acts 10:36, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. But in all these storms we face, how do we find that peace? Billy Graham is brilliant. In his book, Peace with God, he breaks it down for us. He says, realize that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life and wants to be a part of it. Repent of your old way of life. Turn from sin and turn toward God. Recognize that Jesus is the only way to God, that he died for your sins. And finally, receive his offer of grace and forgiveness and commit your life to following him. And friends, when we do that, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now, there'll be times we don't always feel God's peace, but Philippians 4:8-9 says it all. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, the rainbow has a way of doing this. It sets our minds on things that are lovely. It sets our mind on things that are pure, things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And before we know it, we're drawn into the peace of God's presence. And for those who have peace with God, Kermit the Frog's question, "What's on the other side?" has a beautiful answer. On the other side is the God of peace looking down as we're looking up. So the next time it stops raining, the dark storm clouds roll back, and God's arc of prismatic colors appear in the heavens opposite the sun, I hope that we'll remember the new beginning God gave humanity. I hope we'll be reminded of God's patience, God's promises, and God's peace that we can only experience through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as the praise team comes up for our final song, maybe today you're in the same boat as Noah and his family. Maybe you're like those wiped out, surrounded by sin. But friends, we need to know that God is ready. God is willing to give you a fresh start, a new beginning. And today can be that day. Friends, the promise is in the rainbow. Amen.
Would you all please rise and join us in singing How Great Thou Art? You'll find it in your insert. We're going to do just verses 1, 3, and 4. It's a little different arrangement here, and hopefully you guys will love it as much as we did putting it together for you. And I was sitting in the pew listening to Pastor Matt thinking, he keeps quoting movies, and I'm thinking, well, just to you guys, raise your hand, sing it loud, just like Whoopi Goldberg said in Sister Act. Sing loud, because you're singing to the Lord.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me, thou art, how great thou art.
And I think
of God his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great
Christ.
Thank you for the love.
Thank you for the love
that was poured out.
That was poured out
on the cross.
On the cross.
We turn from our sin.
We turn from our sin.
And from this day.
And from this day.
We live for you.
We live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.